Thank you. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Is anybody excited to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, no, that's good for us standing up here. Is anybody excited to be in the house of the Lord? To lift up the name of Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Go ahead and stand with us this evening. We just want to encourage you that we serve a God who is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Does anybody believe that? Oh, come on. Does anybody really believe that? Thank you, Jesus.
Calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. To do the same thing for me. We need you to do it again.
Come on, let's sing this out.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God.
Incredible and how amazing and how all-powerful and all-knowing our God is. And sometimes it feels like he's forgotten us, but I want you to be reminded that the same God that kept you then is the same God that is still able to keep you now. In fact, the Bible says, now unto him who is able to keep you, meaning he is still keeping you today. He will still keep you tomorrow. He'll still keep you forever. Listen, lift this part of the song up with us this night.
You heard your children then. You hear your children now. You are the same God. You are the
answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same. You were providing. God, you're providing now. You are the same.
Someone in this room might be asking, Corey, why are we lifting our hands? I don't understand. Is this just a church thing? It's just something we do. We lift our hands as a sign of surrenderance, telling the God of angels' armies that we need him. Father, we need you now more than ever. We need thee every day, every hour. We are never satisfied with enough. God, we need you. Father, we need you. We need you, we need you, we need you, we need you. We need you, we need you, we need you. God, we need you, we need you, we need you. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. Sing, you are. Oh, rock of ages, we're still standing, cause you are
the same God.
He moved the mountains and he'll move your mountain now.
You are the same God.
You are our healer, God. We believe
You are the same God.
Forever and ever, you. Forever and ever, you will be the same God.
You are the same God.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. We're only here by the faithful beauty of God. It's the power of his spirit that keeps us. It's the power of his spirit that sustains us. And church, if you don't remember anything else from tonight, just remember that he's still the same God. That he's still the same God. The same God that healed that depression. The same God that healed that body. The same God that restored that marriage. The same God that healed your broken hearts. And you are
the same God.
And I just dare someone in the room to believe that the same God that comes to see about you is the same God who can see about the person beside you, who can see about your family, who can see about the people that you don't even know about. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, there he is also. So I can only imagine what will happen if for the next few seconds we just stir up some faith in this room. Is that okay? I need us to lift up our worship, not just for us, but the person beside us, the person that we don't know, the stranger that needs to know that God is still the same yesterday. God is still the same today. God is still the same forever and forever and ever and ever and ever. He doesn't change. He never changes his mind about us. He never changes his thoughts about us. He's still the same. He's still the same. He's still the same. You are the same. You keep us over and over. You keep us over and over, God. My God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. You are the same. He's still the rock of ages. We're still standing on his faithfulness. Sing, you are
the same.
Keep it going, saying, you are the same God.
Whoa,
you are the same God.
You are the same.
Lift that up with us, church. You are the same God.
You are the same God.
You are the same God. I dare you to sing it till you believe it. That you are the same God. You are the same God.
You are the same God.
The same God, yes. Sing, you are the same God. You are, you are. You are the same God. The same God, you are. You are the same God. You are, you are, you are. You are the same God. You are, you are, you are. We cast our crowns to the great God that you are. You are the same God. Yes, Jesus. Church, let's just sing that out together. Sing, oh God, my God. Oh God, my God.
Oh, rock of ages.
One more time, lift it up to the King of Glory, the King of Glory, oh God.
Oh God,
how we need you. Yes, Lord, we need you
now.
Oh, 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 rock of ages. Because you are the same God. Now can we worship the God who's still the same? The God who's still consistent? Come on, that's good for us. That's good for us singing a song. But I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, come on, we came for revival to break out tonight. And I'm not moving until the Lord enters his kingdom. So come on, we might as well bless him. We're already here. We might as well give him glory. We're already here. We might as well lift his name while we're here.
Jesus Christ, our one desire. I pray tonight that before you leave here, you don't have a relationship with God. Before you walk out those doors, this altar is always open, as somebody said today. You don't have to wait till the end. You can come right now.
Jesus Christ, you are my one desire, my one desire, my one desire. Oh, Jesus Christ, you are my one desire, my one. Oh, desire.
Let's just all sing that together right now.
Right where you are. Let's give God praise. He's worthy, amen. He's worthy of all the praise that we could give. I just feel a sweet anointing in this moment. And if we could just take a moment and let's close our eyes and turn our eyes to Jesus. And let Him begin to just wash over you. Let His presence begin to cleanse your soul in this moment. And let the cares of this world begin to fall away. He is our one desire. He is the one for whom we hunger. So God, right now we just turn our eyes to You. Lord, we lift up our eyes to heaven and we say, come, Lord Jesus. All over this room, we say, come, Lord Jesus. Would You have Your way in us? Would You move in our hearts, Father? We are hungry for You tonight. God, we desire You tonight. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That I may dwell in Your presence, O God. Come on, worship team, would you lead us in that chorus again? Father, we are hungry for You. We desire You tonight. Rush past this moment. God's doing something right now. He's stirring expectation in our hearts. Just in the quiet of this moment, keep playing, worship team. In your own way, right where you are, just focus on the Lord and begin to release what you need to release to Him. And begin to surrender. We're just going to rest in this moment. Jesus. Atmosphere is shifting right now. Oh, hallelujah. Just another moment. God is moving right now. I feel something breaking open in the spirit right now. Come on, worship team, one more time. Open in this room. Can we just lift up a shout to mighty King Jesus? Come on, let's praise the Lord all over this room. Hallelujah! 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 Jesus, you're worthy. You're mighty. Hallelujah! To the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To the bright morning star. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless the name of the Lord all over this place. God is good. You can be seated in God's house if you can. I am excited for tonight. Look around you. Are you glad to be among the believers today? There is an excitement and an energy in this room. I'm glad to be here. I know that you are. So glad to see other ministers in the house. Pastor Carlton and Christine, thank you for being here tonight. Pastor Andrew and Linda from over in Edenton, we're glad you're here. Pastor Sandy, Heather, Pastor Travis and Lauren from New Vision in Murfreesboro, we're so glad that you guys are with us. Are there any other visiting ministers in the house? Just wave at me. Praise the Lord. Did I miss somebody? I think I got everybody. Hallelujah. Well, we are so glad that you're here tonight. If you're tuning in, thank you so much for joining us. We do have a video announcement that we're going to show you right now.
Hey, Carpenter Shop ladies. I cannot wait to be with you on Saturday morning, February the 10th. We're going to have an amazing time together. Girl, get up. That's the message that I am going to be bringing to you. I cannot wait to see each of you. Invite someone that you know needs to be inspired for our time together. Ciao.
Amen. Ladies, make sure that you sign up for that. It's going to be an awesome time. We have a treat, and just before they come up, I want to say something about the offering tonight. We believe that God is doing amazing things, and we want to sow into the work that God is doing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that God is able to make all grace. Somebody say all grace. All grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And we want to sow into the good works of the kingdom tonight, amen, believing that God gives us what we need. He gives us, in fact, more than enough. We abound with more than enough so that we can sow into the work that he's doing, amen? And so if you're giving tonight, we invite you to scan the QR code on the screen. If you're tuning in online, just click the link in the comments section or in the description box, and you can designate your giving as kingdom builders. If you're writing a check or using an envelope, just write Kingdom Builders on the memo line. But that is sowing into the men and women of God who are pouring into us this weekend and tomorrow. Amen? Are we ready to do that? Can I get a fervent amen from the house? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, all the way from New Vision in Murfreesboro, we have a dance team that is going to bless us. Would you welcome them as they come? And you can make your way forward to give at this time.
You're bigger than I need any confusion. You're bigger.
God is bigger. He's bigger. He's bigger. He's greater. He's stronger. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can make your way forward at this time to come and drop your offerings in the buckets if you'd like to sow into tonight and into the people that are bringing the word to us, who are sowing into us. And so many good things have happened over the past few nights. I'm thankful for what God is doing in this house and in this community. It's such a blessing to be in the presence of God, the God who is bigger, the God who is stronger. Amen. I'm so thankful for being stirred this morning to let the sound of revival resonate within us, and to release that sound so that we can partner with heaven to see transformation. Amen. There's a sound that is resonating in us tonight, and we're believing for great and mighty things. If you were here this morning, you saw how powerful it was, and you could sense the energy in the room, and I believe that is only the beginning of what God is going to do, that something was just loosened up. And tonight, God is going to move some things. God is going to shift some things. God is going to break some things open tonight. Do you believe that with me? Come on. Hallelujah. We are so glad to have you with us tonight, Evangelist Pat. Come on up, brother. Would you give Pastor Pat a husky Hertford County welcome all the way from Texas?
I just wish I could dress as good as Anoli. You know what I mean? He walked in tonight and I went, get out. Just get out. Texas, we don't put up with that. My spirit is stirred. I said it this morning. I want to live somewhere between amen and there it is. It's my goal in life. I want to get to heaven with nothing left to do. My spirit is stirred for this house. I told pastors today, we were eating lunch, and maybe it was in the back of the office, wherever it was. I said, just, I felt the presence of God the minute I walked in here. Pulling into this town yesterday, I said, God, what do you want to do? He said, I can wake this town up. I can break some things in this town. I can restore some things in this town. But would you do this for me? You know, I kind of have a little bit of a rule that I want to welcome him every single service. Would you get up on your feet and give my God? Now, hold on. They're going crazy for the Lions who are going to win tonight. They went crazy over Kansas City. Yeah. But what if we got a little bit louder right here in Ahoskie if we gave him 10 seconds of praise? Would you get on your feet? Come on. 10 seconds. Are you ready? Come on. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise him better. Praise him better. Praise him better. He's bigger than that. He's bigger than that. Remain standing if you would. Remain standing if you would for the reading of God's word. Thank you for coming out on a Sunday night. The atmosphere is void in this nation of Sunday nights. One of the things the Lord spoke to us several years ago prophetically, that he would begin to pour out his spirit on Sunday nights. We've been seeing it. Over the last 6 weeks, we've seen thousands touched by the Lord, from Brazil, where we saw a stadium full, to different places, locations. But there's something special about here. Something special. Could this be the place that people across the nation start turning and looking, and they start whispering, "Have you heard about Ahoskie? Have you heard about what God's doing at Carpenters?" When they were prophesying with that dance, he's bigger than that. Pastor Outlaw, if you ever need me to dance on that team, you just call me. Promise it'll be awkward. Promise. Promise it'll be so country and redneck. Clumsy. But I want to get into the word. Before I do that, though, I got to show honor where honor is due at all times, because it is a red line in my life. I've got several red lines, but this is one of them. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for leading a movement. Thank you for being willing to have a four-day move of God. Thank you for you and Pastor Joy for being incredible leaders. Can we give it up for our pastors? They're the real deal. And he talked about it this morning, but I promise you are way more saved than me in Southeastern. I just promise that. There's things. I was crazy. Grab your Bibles. Remain standing. I told you this morning that on December the 5th, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "I want you to declare Psalms 24, verse 7, every day of 2024. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory might come in." Woke up this morning and declared it. About 2.5 weeks ago, the Lord downloaded a message to me, and he said, "I want you to deliver this." And it's kind of outside of what I normally do, because I preach on the altar. I preach on restoring your roar. If you don't have those books, I preach on the unqualified. I preach on that God's not mad at you. I preach on the remnant, because we need a remnant in this generation. Romans 11:5, so too at the present time there is a remnant chosen by grace. I wear people out when they're doing sign language. I talk so fast. You have to put them on ice when you get home, or I just lay them in the ice. Okay, all right. But the Lord began to download a message to me called Living in the Perpetual Harvest. We're writing a book right now called Reconciled, because he reconciled in Karen and I, both the priest and king anointing. Can I preach about breaking the spirit of poverty tonight? Can I preach about he's bigger than that? Can I preach about living in that place of walking in perpetual harvest? So grab your Bibles. If you don't have it, I'll read it to you. Hebrews 11, verse 7. I want to go there very quickly. The Bible says this, and this is one of my favorite verses, and I'm going to take you to a couple places, then you can sit down. But it says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen." This is Hebrews 11. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews. There's several scriptures that kind of proves that, but some will kind of argue with on that, but this is what I believe. It says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family." The Lord showed me this verse 9 years ago. I'll tell that story in just a moment. But you have to understand, by faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness. Somebody say righteousness. He built an ark for his family. I'm not preaching on Noah. But in holy fear built an ark to save his family. 9 years ago, laying on the beach, the Lord said, "Build an ark for your family." I didn't understand it. We'll go deeper in that in a minute. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness. I'm preaching on living in perpetual harvest. Understand something. This is not the type of message that you got that you can't lean out on. You've got to lean in. I want you to take notes tonight. I want you to listen to this because I am not speaking to you. I'm speaking to your great-grandchildren. I'm speaking on a generational wealth management mindset. This morning we preached about resonate. What is heaven declaring? Tonight's very different. So follow me. And Psalms 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old. Not that old. Don't be looking up at me like that. I'm 54. Give it time. Older. Yet I've never seen the righteous. Everybody say righteous. See, everybody wants blessing. People want resurrection without death. And they want blessing without righteousness. It cannot coexist. You cannot do that. I don't care what sermons you've heard, what Christian television show you've been watching. Righteousness is everything. I'm preaching on living in perpetual harvest in just a moment. And I'm going to take you a little bit deeper. But I want you to get a hold of this because there's a stirring in my spirit for you to get a hold of this. I've been young, now I'm older, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He is merciful and lendeth. And his seed is blessed. Somebody say, my seed's blessed. You got to understand, we serve a generation God. Just as in the Word of God, when he looks at a city, he doesn't see First Assembly of God or First Baptist Church. He calls churches in the Bible cities. When he looks at your family, he doesn't see one lineage, he sees a whole lineage. He sees my great-great-grandchildren. My three grandkids right now, Jack, Andy, and Skylar. He knows what they're going to do, but I can't see much farther than that right now, but he sees it. Somebody say generation. I'm preaching on a generation anointing. So give God one more praise and you may be seated. So the title of my message is Living in Perpetual Harvest. And he birthed this in my spirit, and the subtitle would be called Becoming a Generational Wealth Manager. By the way, my beautiful wife sends you greetings. She was taking our daughter back to college, and there's the, I got a lust issue right there, lust issue. I got to get home. But I want you to understand something, and she'll be coming back with me here. I want you to understand as I move into this word. This word was birthed in about 2.5 days as heaven downloaded. I don't watch people's sermons or YouTubes. I have to listen to him. He said, you're going to preach a message different in 2024 about breaking poverty, about restoring wealth. And I'm like, Lord, that's never really been my gifting. I don't ask for anything when I go anywhere. Because I am married to Hosanna, not Hosea. I am not a prostitute of the call. I'm very strong on that. But he said, I want you to preach on this because we're moving into a season where he's about to bless the righteous. I don't care what the stock market says or what the interest rates are or anything else that's going on geopolitically. He will bless you regardless. Somebody say, he's going to bless me. Because it's about walking in a mindset. So I want to release to you one of my favorite gifts. Now, we know there's 9 gifts of the Spirit, but there's one in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, that stands right in the middle. There's 4 on this side, 4 on this side, 1 in the middle, and it's called the gift of faith. I pray every morning for the gift of faith because all the other gifts lean on it. It's like the middle book. So lift your hands where you're sitting at right now and simply pray this. And I want to tell you, if you receive this, you will begin to have dreams. You will begin to keep a pen and paper beside your bed because he'll start sharing things with you. He'll give you ideas. He'll give you that entrepreneur anointing. He'll release the priest and king anointing inside of you. So with your hands raised, simply say, Father, I receive the gift of faith. Now, see, we can pray something like that, but us Pentecostals or Charismatics or whatever, we've always prayed for baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've prayed for the gift of healing, the gift of signs and wonders, but we never pray for the gift of faith, which everything else leans on. When I received the gift of faith, it shifted everything because I don't need anything. There is no want, because I sit at the king's table every morning. I'm his son. Are you getting this so far? And what you got to understand, as I move deeper into this, I'm here to awaken a level of faith that requires action, because faith without works is dead. But my Heavenly Father sent me to tell you that you are here for such a reason. In fact, Acts 17, verse 26 says, he determined the times. That word is kairos. And the word times literally means epic appointed moment. You're not an oops. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not illegitimate. There's no such thing as an illegitimate child, but I've met some illegitimate parents, and you have to understand something. This is your epic time. You're still here. You're still breathing. You're going to get 5 different crowns when you go to heaven. You haven't died yet, because either your head's too big or too small. That was free. If that offended you, it offended me too. But it's an understanding. It's Hosea 4:6. My Father sent me to tell you, my people are perishing for lack of knowledge. He still knows the recipe to manna. He can still blow your mind tonight. Say, oh man, Pat, you sound like one of those Christian television preacher guys. Let me tell you something. Been on all those shows, didn't like them. This is something I've had to walk through. You ain't helping me. A kid raised on food stamps. Raised in poverty. And you have to understand, and Karen was the same thing. When you begin to shift, everything starts shifting in your family. And what you got to understand, there is God's law. That's called the moral code. Jesus never broke the moral code. That's why we tithe. It is a moral code. There's 3 different types of law. There's man's law. That's the code of conduct. I've experienced that many times because I drive too fast sometimes. Policemen just want to pull me over and look at my picture in my wallet. I've gotten better. And both produce harvest, but there's also natural law. There's 24 hours in a day. You can't change that. The sun comes up, sun goes down. But see, I want to take you to a scripture in just a moment that I need you to get a hold of, because I want you to write this down, the law of harvest. All the laws apply to the law of harvest. Moral code, natural code. All the laws apply to this law right here. It never changes. No matter what you do, you are sowing and reaping. In fact, Genesis chapter 8, this verse lit me up. In Genesis the 8th chapter, as long as the earth endures, listen to this, climate change specialist. I'm sorry, I'm that guy. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So one of the things God says right there in Genesis chapter 8, he said, there's 4 things that never change. He said, but number 1, I want you to get, seed time and harvest will always happen. It's never going to change. You're always going to be a part of it. That is called perpetual harvest. I'm preaching on the perpetual harvest. Understandings. There's always sowing and reaping, sowing in righteousness, or sowing in wickedness. Now, we all love Galatians 6:9. Never be, don't grow weary in well-doing. In the proper time, you'll reap a harvest. But we don't read the first 2 verses before that, where it says in verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, of the flesh reaps corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, again, I'm teaching tonight, preach a little bit different from this morning, because I want you to get a hold of this, because soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So you are sowing something. In a period of time where our nation was shut down, people started letting things come into their house they never would have watched on TV. Whether it was Hulu or Prime or Netflix or whatever, stuff we started allowing in because we got separated. The enemy knows how to separate. That's the law of the jungle. Separate and you can kill. But what you have to realize is, Spirit, reap life everlasting, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We love that part, but you have to know that there's something that never changes, and that's sowing and reaping. And I'm preaching on the power of breaking some curses tonight. Are you getting this so far? And I've learned that when you walk in the Lord, the mandate of God is always righteousness leads to generational blessing. You shift things. Whether it was my father who got saved when I was about 5 years old in Detroit. He was a drug dealer, worked with the Teamsters, worked with the mafia. He was into a lot of horrible stuff. I lost family members in violence and a lot of other stuff. But when my father knelt on his knees and flushed $2,000 worth of dope down a commode when I was 5 years old, after the week before driving his car directly through our house, that'll wake you up. No one had ever talked to him about Jesus, but he had an encounter with God, and it started something. It started a chain reaction, pulling our family out of darkness. You're not getting this so far. In fact, he's in Zimbabwe preaching right now, tonight. As a bishop, he's standing there preaching to thousands with his cane right now. We broke something. Somebody say break it. And there's a moment where you understand that 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Listen to me. Righteousness leads to generational blessing. And again, God just gave me this 2.5 weeks ago, and he began to stir it. It's Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. I'm just setting the stage for you. Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness. Everybody wants blessing without righteousness. What is righteousness? It means to set things right with him. It means to live in such a way that I've got covenant eyes. To live in such a way that I'll never embarrass the cross. To live in such a way that when he walks in the room, I take a knee. You're not helping me. That I resign from any title, position, or plaudit. It means to live differently. It means to allow him to come into your home. Oh, I'm about to get deep with this. Because you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception. Is there anybody in here tired of not enough? I'm asking a question. You're tired of not enough. You're like, I'm ready to step into something for my family. That's what I'm preaching on. And I just want to say for those of you who have been through some tough seasons, those that have walked through some things, your past isn't your prison, it's your university. I just want to say something to you. There's a harvest promised to you, Psalms 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. There's a promise. Let me share a definition. Recently, I shared with a bunch of business leaders because Karen and I own a business. We help people get healthy. There's a number of other things. And we were speaking to thousands and thousands of business leaders in Atlanta and in the State Farm Arena there. And this is a definition that I wrote down. And remember, this isn't a Christian gathering, but, you know, the anointing hits the room regardless. But the definition of faithfulness is this. God gave me this one morning. Having the stamina to keep believing where there are no answers to your questions, or when the shout to keep going has become a whisper of just hold on. So you've learned to just hold on. I'm preaching to the ones that are just holding on. Told you this morning, my life verse is Matthew 10:27. What I whisper to you in the dark, you will proclaim from the rooftops. I live by the whisper. Everything we do is by the whisper. When God says, watch me do this. In this season, my job is to take the trash out. I'm the trash guy at our house. And I go out and my Aussie helps me. She watches out for me. She's about 60 pounds of fluff. But every night when I go to take the trash out to the garbage cans, I walk out and I point to the heavens and I say, I trust you. My neighbors have heard me say it. Because I'm crazy like that. We're the spirit-filled loons. They saw us. They've seen us walk the perimeter of our yard and anoint it and reclaim the land when we moved into this house. We're just crazy like that. We anoint everything. My mama anointed everything. I'd wake up with Crisco oil every morning. My friends would spend the night. They'd wake up with Crisco oil. They're like, dude, what is up? I said, my mama's crazy. She came out of drugs. She got spirit-filled. It's a bad mixture. I'd walk out from school. There'd be like a Crisco oil. We couldn't afford that olive oil stuff, all right? We had government stuff. And that with the cheese. Cheese makes good sandwich, though. My friends would spend the night and like, dude, every time I stay here, I get a zit right here because of your mom. I said, she anoints everything. I'd tell her, Mom, stop anointing my car. You're ruining the paint job. You alive, ain't you, boy? I don't know where that came from. Every bit of that happened. That's called redneck on Holy Ghost. So for the ones that have learned to just hold on, I got to preach to you tonight about living in a perpetual harvest, living in that mindset, that shift. Why? Because it's Luke 12, where much is given, much is required. There's a moment where you get your faith back because faith activates authority. And by the end of this night, we're going to lay hands on people and God is going to reactivate some things because everybody in this room hanging over your head right now is a key. I'll get deeper into that in a moment. And when we get to that altar in a few minutes, we're going to pull the key down because he's a God of keys. I'm getting ahead of myself. Do you understand the enemy absolutely hates your harvest? He was cursed. The serpent was cursed to crawl across the harvest. There was 10 types of trees in the garden, horticulturist belief. All trees come from those 10. And God said, don't touch this one. Yet the enemy wrapped himself in the one that was not to be touched. He wants your harvest. He's coming after your harvest. His goal is to take your harvest. In Genesis, he was a snake. In Revelation, he was a dragon. Why? Because he was cursed to crawl and eat of the flesh. And apparently, he's eaten so much flesh, he went from being a snake to being a dragon. Somebody needs to wear a sign that says, don't feed the dragon. Because you have to understand, his goal is to take you out. His goal is to sneak up on you. He loves to rob you of the tithe that was promised to God. Understand what I'm saying? That's why John 10:10, he comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. I hate snakes. Adam failed us. He should have went full Texas on the snake. A couple years ago, I had some friends of mine in town, some health coach friends that we spend time together, and we were going to a Dallas Cowboys game. God bless them. About like Carolina, so there. And I'm just saying, we sent you a quarterback, but we're going to this Cowboys game, and we're excited. We're just going to go to a Cowboys game, and I pull up in the stadium, and all of a sudden, Karen is at home, and she had gone out to the garage to get on the Peloton bike because we were having the room redone where our bikes are, and she went to turn on the fan in the garage because it was still hot in Texas, and all of a sudden, there's a big old copperhead. It's about 30 feet long. Now, it was about 2 feet, but the picture looks like 30 feet. I'm going to be honest with you, and I don't like snakes. Can't handle snakes. Y'all can go to petting zoos and hold them things. I will stab it. The enemy wants you. He wants your blessing. He wants your harvest. He wants to interrupt your plans. He wants your children, which are the seed, your promise. But all of a sudden, Karen sends me a picture of this big old snake. And I look at my friends. I said, y'all get out of the car. We live about 25 minutes from Cowboy Stadium. I said, I got to go home and kill a snake. It's in the garage. And they're normal. That's part of Texas. And they jump out of the car. And I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to do something. Because you know how I don't like snakes. And about that moment, I'm pulling out on Cowboy Way. I get a picture of the head of the snake chopped off. Listen, I'm telling you, marry a redneck. They crazy, but they fun. My wife and went and gotten a shovel and had gotten a shovel and said, not today, Satan, reached over and just chopped that thing's head off and got on the bike. And I was like, praising the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something. If I'd have pulled up, I'd have went and gone to the safe. I'd have grabbed the AR. And I'd have just been, I'd been like 30 feet away just unloading. I mean, it would have been Rambo. I'd just been lighting up the girl. I don't care. I've been trying. It holds 21 clip. 21 bullets. Anyway, put a little 223 in it and be done. But do you understand? understand that God is a rewarder. Regardless of what the enemy is trying to do to you, he is a rewarder. It's Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen to what I'm saying, because we're about to break something. Marcus Aurelius said it best. He made this statement: it's not death that man should fear, but he should fear never beginning to live. Are you catching this so far? Some of you are called to launch businesses. Some of you are called to launch dreams. You're called to write books. This is the night to say enough's enough. I'm no longer going to be deal with a spirit of delay. That's a whole nother teaching we do, how to break delay. We might do it at the altar call. Something God showed us, how to break delay. And when we broke delay, it changed everything. But you have to understand, write this down, awaken to your priest and king anointing. Now, I'm not going deep into this because it's a whole nother sermon. You can find it on YouTube, called Restore the Priestly King, and it's part of our new book. But I'm going to give you a little bit of a taste of it, because I'll never forget lying on the beach on May 28, 2015. And we're getting ready to do 26 conferences that summer. I'm going to get on flights at night, go preach, fly back the next morning, go to the next place. And I was exhausted. I was overweight, 72 pounds overweight. I was weary. And I'm laying on the beach, and Karen is on the beach, and Abby, my daughter's on the beach, and I don't know why people lay out. It's dumb. There's no reason for it. I'd rather build a sandcastle, but I'm so crazy. If I build a sandcastle, we're bringing in a backhoe. We're putting tape around it. We're going to threaten children to get close. And I'm laying there in the presence of God, and I said, God, I'm weary. And this is the words he said to me. This is the opening line of our new book. He said, I didn't ask you to die for the church. I already did. And I began to weep. Karen looks over at me and says, I feel the presence of God. I said, I got to go back up into that condo. I got to go right. And I get up there, and God said, I'm going to do some things inside of you. And he gave me some mandates. And he began to break down some things to me. And he said to me, son, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And he said, first you must take back your house. Then you must break the orphan spirit off my people and restore my priestly king into the entrepreneurial anointing. I didn't know what any of that meant. But God began to shift us. First, I began to take back my health. I lost 72 pounds, and we've helped about 500,000 do it since. So if you need help, we'll help you. Just see our table. We'll call you this week. But what you have to understand, God began to burn some things inside of me. He said, son, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I didn't know what that meant. Matthew 16:19. It speaks of the keys of the kingdom, and it speaks about, I will give you the keys. Everybody say keys. I'm going somewhere. I want you to get a hold of this now. He said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom and of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever will you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's Isaiah 22:22. It's the same thing. How many of you understand the Hebrew year that we're in right now? We're in 5784, the year of the door. You cannot have a door without having a key. You can't open a door. You're not getting this yet. I'm trying to show you. God said, I want you to preach about the keys, about getting people through their next level, getting them through the door. Somebody give God a praise offering right now. Keys mean power and authority. It means he entrusts you with your next. Going more into the doors in just a minute. In fact, I want to say it like this. God continually gives Karen and I new keys. In fact, I was praying one morning. I was sitting on a bench that I have that's from the first revival that had ever hit America from the 1600s. And, in fact, I just got a text a few moments ago from the pastor of that church in Connecticut. I'm sitting on my prayer bench that experienced George Whitefield and great revivals in the 1600s and 1700s. It's over 400 years old, this bench I have. And I'm sitting there, and God says, son, you think it's a key, but all of a sudden, prophetically, I see this giant ring of thousands of keys on it. He said, ask me for the keys. Plural. If you'll ask me for the keys. One of the signs that God's about to give me a new key, and it happened right when I got this message, was in the middle of the night. This sounds crazy, and you can think we're crazy. Trust me, all my report cards said that. In fact, I should have went into music, because like A, B, C, D, E, anyway. F. You following me? We're one, aren't we? Yeah. It's amazing I wrote books. Thank God for editors. Now watch. But this started happening to us about 3 or 4 years ago. In the middle of the night, we started hearing symphonic music. For no reason. For no reason. In fact, I kept hearing it waking up about 3 o'clock in the morning. hearing symphonic music in my house, thinking, well, is the Sonos system on or is the TV on? I get up and walk around the house. Where is this music coming from? And it was driving me crazy. Driving down the road about a year ago, I looked at Karen. I said, you're going to think I'm crazy. But I hear music in the middle of the night. She said, me too. And I went to prayer. I said, Lord, what is that? He said, son, it's Zephaniah. I'm singing over you. I love symphony. Why? Because what does the Bible say in Ephesians? We are his workmanship. That word workmanship is a poem, a song, something created figuratively. Every time I start to hear music in my house, he gives me a new key. And it's not just this house. It's been the last three houses because we buy and flip properties. You say, why would you share that? Because he's in your house. He's at the end of your bed. Before you go to bed at night, say, give me dreams, Lord. Give me ideas. Give me visions. He'll wake up in the next morning and suddenly he's like, call this person. It's called walking in the perpetual harvest. I hope you're getting this so far. Because do you understand? You say, well, what is priest and king? It's 1 Peter 2:9. But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings. People always, when we went to Bible college, Southeastern, Revelation 1, Revelation 5, priest and king, I was taught they were separate. They're not separate. You are priests who are kings. It means you're anointed to bring your family to the altar and you're anointed to go conquer the land. You carry both. It's not two separate anointings. I can prove it to you with someone by the name of Melchizedek. And what you have to understand is who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast. The word broadcast is where we get the word testimony. That you would broadcast glorious, wondrous throughout the whole world. It's about walking in such an anointing. The original Jewish charter, which was written before God's word came out. You have to understand, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. You are anointed to be both. You're anointed to be walking in both of the... Oh, you're not getting this. I'm going to preach without you for a second. Why are you preaching this on a Sunday night? Because 2.5 weeks ago, God said, you're going to deliver this in 2024. And you understand priest and king was first mentioned in Genesis 14, 18, a guy named Melchizedek. But you'll read about him in Hebrews chapter 7. Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. In fact, Abraham paid his tithe there. I'm getting ahead of myself. In other words, God will bless you to lead your family and church into his presence at the same time, anoint you to walk in favor and take back the land. Somebody give God a praise offering. The church has to get outside the building. We're the called out ones. Jesus had 132 public appearances, 122 of them were in the marketplace. There are 52 parables, 45 of them were taught in the marketplace. The Proverbs 31 woman was a CEO. The first church that was planted, Acts chapter 16, was planted in Lydia's house, a woman entrepreneur. It's thinking differently. I was raised to think they were separate, and yet I loved stepping into business, but I was taught you can't do that. And then God said, I can anoint you for both. When did you start limiting me? I am God. In fact, priest and king becoming one. Listen to this. A vision for ministry and a vision for business is not a competing vision. The two complement each other. They are both in you. If the two join forces, your children will never walk around with an imbalanced view of the other. It changes the next generation mindset. In fact, if you walk in both, your family will never understand the competition of ministry and business because it will be ingrained in them. The two are one. Once you ask, somebody say this, give me the keys. Now, there's one hanging over you, but I don't want you to grab it yet. Because every service has keys. I mentioned it this morning, but I'll mention it again. When God told us he was going to give us the keys, I didn't understand it. I began to study and pray about it. And then we started Philippians 4:6. We make our petitions known. Karen and I come into agreement nearly every single day. We read a whole list, prayer list for our children, for our ministry, for our business. And then we always say, God, give us the keys to the kingdom. Give us people to get healthy. We do it constantly. And I'll never forget, we were praying one morning. We were in Gulf Shores, Alabama, walking down the beach. I had a board meeting that afternoon for the late Steve Hill. His wife, Jerry, asked me to come to it. And we're walking down the beach. Nobody's in the beach. It's kind of cold outside. And at that particular time, actually it was in July, but nobody was out. We're walking down the beach, and all of a sudden I said, Lord, give us the keys. A wave rolled back, and there was a key laying right there. That's crazy, ain't it? I mean, that'll give you them ghost goosebumps. Karen, look, there's a key. And she goes, where? And the wave rolled back out. And I grabbed it. Now, listen, I ain't worried about if somebody couldn't get in their condo. That's my miracle. Amen. Don't step on my miracle. Mm-mm. We took that key and shadow boxed it, and I give that key out, copies of it, to thousands, learning to walk with the keys. Now, listen, follow me, because once you got the key, you got to start looking for the door. So write this down, the knock of destiny. I'm going to prove something to you. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel. It had sat for 20 years. The Ark of the Covenant represents God's blessing on earth. It was his throne on earth of the Old Testament. Understand, there was three things inside of it. Aaron's rod that budded, that represented leadership. It's a perfect church, by the way. The pot of manna, which represented the blessing, and the Ten Commandments, which represented the law. And then sitting upon it was called the mercy seat, where God sat. David becomes king. He goes to get the Ark of the Covenant. He's bringing it back, but he didn't talk to the Levites about it. So instead, he puts it on an oxen cart. It didn't belong on a cart. It belonged on the priest's shoulders leading. All of a sudden, it hits a threshing floor. And the Bible says over in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6 through 7, when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, it begins to fall. Uzzah, who was of the lineage of Saul, which means doing it man's own strength, reaches out to grab it and drops dead. Everything freezes. The party's over. David is so offended, he says, get it out of my sight. And they take it to a guy that I want to hang out with in heaven. I got several people we're going to have coffee with when I get to heaven, but this is one of them. He took it to a guy named Obed-Edom's house. Knocks on the door and says, take the Ark of God. Obed's like, cool. He builds a little thing for it. Begins to light the offering at night and in the morning. Does everything the Bible says. And for 3 months, his house is blessed. Because he answered the door. Oh, you're not getting this yet. And when the presence of God came in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 10 through 11, David wasn't willing to take the ark. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his entire household. It is even believed, in fact, you'll find the same thing over in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 13. But it's even believed that his daughters gave birth every month. Pregnant gave birth. Crazy stuff started happening. So then David figures out, okay, I got to take this back to Israel, to Jerusalem. So he goes and knocks on the door of Obed and says, I want it back. He goes, cool, but I'm going with it. So Obed, from that point on, became the Forrest Gump of David's reign. He's just like in pictures. Because when the presence of God was in his home, he fell so in love with it, righteousness, 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 that he wanted to follow it. Next thing you know, David takes it and begins to build put it in a tabernacle, and all of a sudden, and by the way, you know what Obed's name means? I love Obed. The servant who honors God in the right way, Edom, which means red. In other words, the servant who honored God so greatly that he caused other people to blush. Put me around somebody like that. I'm watching Corey lead worship here tonight, and I'm just going, Lord, I love his spirit. Put me around somebody that makes me hungry for God. Why? Because I want to be in that Malachi book of remembrance, those who honor the Lord. That's the book I want to make. And you have to understand, this knock changed everything. A love affair started with the presence of God. I'm talking to everybody in this room that doesn't understand why they have too much month at the end of the money. If you fall in love with his presence, it starts changing everything. It starts shifting how you think. You can listen to all the podcasts, and I listen to a lot of leaders' podcasts. You can listen to Milet. You can listen to all these different people. But when you fall in love with the presence of God, he starts pointing things out to you. He starts saying, watch this over here. Launch this over here. Watch the impossible happen right there. Oh, they don't want to give you that land, just walk on that land and pray over and watch what happens. You ain't getting this yet. He'll start giving you deeds. He'll start giving you. Why? Not because you're supposed to be some spoiled little kingdom kid so you can conquer the kingdom, so you can do things that others don't do. Give him a praise. I'm going to preach for a minute. I have been writing this for 7 years. I'm a revivalist. I get people to the altars. Over 2 million have been saved. And people baptized in fire, entire stadiums. But God said, you've been working on this for 8 years, and now it's time to release it. Why? Because it's an understanding. I didn't pull this out of somebody's book. God began to download this to me, and that knock changed everything. Because Obed said, my house was blessed, and it would lead to something. They put the ark on the priest's shoulders. David would walk behind it this time instead of trying to lead the presence. You don't lead him. Every 7 feet, he would stop and build an altar. He took it home correctly, and he danced before the Lord, and he gets it home, and he says, okay, I got to give a place for it. Now watch what happened. So remember, Obed refused to leave. Look at 1 Chronicles 15, verse 16. He becomes a gatekeeper. He said, all right, you know what? I'll just be a gatekeeper. I'll guard the gates. Give me some people that will guard the gates from the enemy. Then watch what happens. He moves from being a gatekeeper to a doorkeeper. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 24. Obed-Edom and Jehiah were also doorkeepers for the ark. This guy was wherever the presence of God was. And then he experienced generational blessing out of it. I'm proving something to you. He and his family were eventually placed over the entire treasury of the Lord. Look what it says. I'll go there in a minute, but let me just speak to his children for a second. In 1 Chronicles 26, it speaks of those assigned to guard the gates of the store. They were all Obed's sons. In fact, look at their names. Shemaiah, the firstborn. Now, if I say it wrong, I'm saying it fast, so you don't know I said it wrong because I don't know all that, but watch. Shemaiah, the firstborn. Jehovah is heard. Jehozabad, the second. I'm so glad my name is Patrick. All right, watch. Jehovah is endowed and blessed. Joah, the third. Jehovah is eternal. Sakkar, the fourth. Jehovah is always. This is Obed's kids that were guarding the presence of God, the treasury of the house of God. Is always fair and keeps his promise. Nathaniel, my son's name is Nathaniel, the fifth, given from God. Amiel, the sixth, the people of God. Issachar, the seventh, he who brings forth the reward. And Paluthai, I said it quick, the eighth. Well, you got to do it, yeah, Paluthai, yeah, we knew that. I took that in college, whatever. All right, watch. God is a rewarder of labor, for God had blessed Obed-Edom all because he answered the door, all because he said, come and live in my house, Lord, all because he said, if you don't want it, I want it. Somebody help me, because I got a bigger God. He's bigger. We heard that earlier. He's a big old God. And when you start writing it, can I show you what it means when you put all their names together? This is how cool God is, because he's God of lineage. So Obed-Edom, the servant who honored God the right way, had sons. Their names meant Jehovah has heard, and he will bless. He is eternal, keeps his promises that are given from God. For the people of God, he brings forth the reward and rewards those who do his labor. Give my God a praise. Look at 1 Chronicles 26, verse 6 through 8. His son Shammai also had sons who were leaders. This is a lineage. And basically, it says at the very end of it, their sons, they all were descendants of Obed-Edom. They and their sons and their relatives were capable men with the strength to do the work. Descendants of Obed-Edom, 62 in all 62 members of his family protected the treasury, were in charge of the treasury. Oh, you're not getting this. He stood at the gate. He stood at the door. Maybe you haven't read God's word. Jesus was the gate. Two verses later, he says, I'm the door. Do you understand? 1 Chronicles 26, 15. The lot for the south gate fell to Obed-Edom, and the lot for the storehouse fell to his sons. All because he understood righteousness leads to blessing. Somebody can get up and preach. 30, 60, 100 folk. We love to throw those scriptures out. We love to use all the faith scriptures. But without righteousness, it's a pyramid scheme. God is not our prostitute. I say that with honor. He's my king. Do you understand the blessing of the Lord? Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. I'm breaking some stuff over this area. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send down rain on your land in season, to bless all the work of your hands. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Once you let God in your house, once you become the gatekeeper, once you learn to be the doorkeeper, once you learn to guard the gate, then he will give you the storehouse. John 10, 7, he's the door. John 10, 9, he's the gate. I'm getting ready to close in a second. Why am I preaching on this? And I'd love to walk you more into the priest and king anointing. The stuff that God does for Karen and I, it's mind-blowing. Lack is not God. The Hebrew language doesn't even have a word for borrow. Because you walk in such a favor. I'm not talking about things don't get tough. I'm not talking about there's times of famine in the land. We all know that. But when you begin to say, God, I got you, got this. Every night. Front yard. You know what I'm talking about. I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. People ask me, how is it that your son became a youth pastor, led the largest youth ministry in America, 3,000 kids, and then came home, ran for office in Texas, and nobody knew him, and landslide victory, and now he's fighting for the unborn, and he's fighting for these things. Your daughter, which we rescued from China when she was 9 months old, now is a leader leading an entrepreneurial movement on Southwestern campus for girls. How is it you walk in there? They don't get it. Until I had the encounter on the beach, I had traveled 19 years sowing righteousness. Never asking for anything. Millions of miles. So I can't promise when your harvest comes, but don't grow weary. It's coming. This is it. Become a generational wealth manager. What does it mean? I pray constantly, Lord, I want what we do to touch my great, great, great grandchildren. I want purity, because purity is the backbone of authority, and authority is determined by brokenness. I want purity to be in our home. I want divorce to be broken in our family. I want untimely. I had a sister who died of a drug overdose. I want addiction broken in my family. I want obesity, which is an addiction, broken in my family. Heart disease, broken in my family. I want cancer to never wield its ugly head at my front door again. That's why we wrote Restore the Roar. Because after it was over with, the twin sister of fear's lethargy, and I was in a very dark place after she was healed. I know. We always backslide after the miracle. Preaching in Pennsylvania, and the Lord woke me up one morning and said, what happened to your roar? I'm like, Lord, I don't have a roar. Amos 3:11, as the lion roars, so the prophet speaks. Wicked flee for no reason, but the righteous is bold as lions. I said, Lord, I've lost it. He said, get your roar back. Then I began to realize that the lion roars in the morning and the evening. That's when I was worshiping through her whole cancer diagnosis for a year, morning and the evening. I turn on worship. It may look like I'm surrounded. This is my song. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you every day. This is how I fight my battles. I'm talking about a generation. I'm talking about transforming from a get-by mindset to generational long-term wealth manager. God changed everything on that day at the beach. Everything started changing. He showed us how to grow things, how to grow wealth, how to change differently. Can I just say this? Decide today that you'd rather live in peace, abundance, and wealth more than poverty or lack mindset that has never served you. Generations. Proverbs 13:22. I'm almost done. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. So that's double dipping right there. Bible references money and possessions 2,350 times in the Bible. Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad. It's a book. If you've never read it, you need to read it. It's kind of ground zero for understanding how to do financing. If you want to be rich, simply serve more people. We don't like that word rich in the church, do we? They didn't mind it in the Bible. A crucial part of spiritual maturity is moving beyond a lifetime perspective into a generational perspective. Let me give you just real quick five keys to becoming generational wealth manager for your family. You say, what does this have to do with revival? I can't even go deep into that, but it is, lack does not follow revival. What is revival? The true definition. It's not days on the calendar. It's the church getting back to normal. It's the prodigals coming home. So we know living righteously leads to blessing. You're sowing wickedness or righteousness, whatever you're doing. In fact, when you get home tonight, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do to break that thing. But God, number one, must be first in your finances. Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Can I just say this to you? Realize he wants to bless you. I was raised in poverty. You know, there's four streams in the Garden of Eden. God always gives us a perfect plan. I got silly one day and decided to study the four streams because I like studying names. So I looked up the four streams in Genesis chapter 2. Everything flows out of Eden. The word Eden means pleasure. River means streams of prosperity. There's Pison, which means increase. Gihon, which is bursting forth. Hiddekel, which means rapid. Euphrates, which means fruitfulness. You should ask God for four streams of wealth. I pray constantly for four streams of finances. You know what happens when you put those names together? I do that. Now, a stream of prosperity went out of pleasure to furnish the enclosure. From there, it parted and became rapid, bursting forth with increase and fruitfulness. Isn't God cool? Come on, give the Lord a praise. Isn't he cool? That's who God is. I could have preached on gifts of the Spirit tonight. I could have preached on all these things. And the Lord said, when I pulled into town and hit the city limits, he said, you're going to preach that here. I asked permission to share. I said, that's what the Holy Spirit told me. One of my favorite verses, Hebrews 11:11. It's the same thing when I do when I walk outside and I say, God, I trust you. Hebrews 11:11. It's the only time God is judged in the Bible. It says, Sarah judged God faithful. The only way you can judge God is to judge him faithful. It's the same thing as going, I trust you. I trust you. I'm about to wrap up. This is the real closing. The last one, I was lying. Totally lied to you. Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Psalms 112:1-3. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his command. His children will be mighty. Somebody say generation. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Generation, blessing, righteousness. Number two, I'm sure you get this. He gets the tithe. I have had people say to me when I pastored during that very odd season, because I'm not a very good pastor. We grew for no reason. But I would have some hipster theologians say to me, I don't believe in that tithe thing, that Deca thing. And I go, oh, have you read Hebrews 7? Melchizedek, Abraham paid a tenth to the priest. That's where it started. That's before the Levites. They were still in the loins of Abraham. We didn't have Levites yet. That's Hebrews, New Testament. Malachi, bring your tithe forth. First fruits belongs to the Lord. It belongs to Him. It's one of the trees. It's the tree in the garden. He said, don't touch. Hebrews 11:4. Just think how he was great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his tithe. That's, we jump over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:9. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham because Melchizedek met Abraham. Levi was still in the body of his ancestors. He wasn't born yet. But it's so funny when I was pastoring and I had people come to me and go, I don't believe in that tithing thing. I say, really? Because it rebukes the devourer. One time I was getting on a flight early in the morning out of Birmingham, Alabama. True story, 5:30 in the morning. When I lived in Birmingham, I was convinced you had to go through Atlanta to go to heaven. And catching a flight to go preach. 5:30 in the morning, sitting on the runway, about to take off. My wife calls me and she said, someone's in the house. We lived in Birmingham at the time. You could hear them breaking in the door. I called Quentin, who is the head of our school of ministry, who now is over the youth at CF&I. I said, Quentin, get to my house right now. Somebody's breaking into my house. The minute I said that, the plane takes off down the runway. For 30 minutes, flying from Birmingham to Atlanta, what did I do? Did I panic? I sat in my seat and I said, I pay my tithe. Ain't nobody have a right to go in my house. They literally got into the house. Landed in Birmingham, I called. I said, okay, what's up? Karen said, they were here, the police are here, but they ran out. I'm going to rent the video when I get to heaven on Holy Ghost Netflix. Because I bet they saw the biggest, baddest angel saying, wrong house. You can't touch them. Hey! But I'm always amazed when people say, well, I'm New Testament. I said, well, that fires me up. Because let's go to Acts chapter 4, the New Testament church. Look right here. 33. They gave everything. It's amazing how quickly people go Old Testament again. Amen. But the tithe belongs to Him. It's a given. It doesn't belong to an evangelist. It doesn't belong to a bunch of churches you've been streaming. It belongs to the house. Number 3, be a sower. God will anoint you to be a sower. That's the over and above. It's an understanding of Luke 6:38. Given it shall be given to you. Good measure. God's measurement tablet is crazy. It's like one can set 1,000 flight, 2 to 10,000. We can't explain the math on that. And a cord of 3 cannot be broken. It's the same type of concept. God says, to the measure you pour out, to the measure I will bless. But His measurement table is a lot better. Let God anoint you to be a giver. Some of my closest friends in the world, I want to be the biggest giver. We spent a whole year raising funds. Our son is building a building in Fort Worth for liberty and justice to rescue 100 girls off the streets that have been sex trafficked. So he leads this whole movement. Each room for these girls, because they're specialized, costs $50,000. Karen and I said, we'll do 2. November, we wrote a check for $100,000, laid hands on it as a whole family, and it's the largest seed we ever sowed. Why? Because I want to be the giver. You know what? We didn't give it all. Churches helped us. We're doing 2 more. But you have to understand. It's Romans 12:8. If your gift is to encourage, then encourage. If it's to give, then give generously. Break the poverty spirit. Write that down. Somebody say, not in my family. Mark Twain said, 20 years from now, you'll be more disappointed by the things you did not do than by the ones you did. Somebody say, it stops with me. I could go into the depths of teaching what causes poverty and all what the Bible says about it. But I think about this. September 25th, 1894, my great great-grandfather, Joseph Schatzlin. It was Schatzlin because we're German Jew. Persecution of the Jews was happening. He escaped Europe, got on a boat, and came to the U.S. He was a tanner. 21 years old, lands at Ellis Island, signs in. He was in steerage. That followed my family from Detroit to some family members went to Canada, some went to Minneapolis. There's only 7 Schatzline families in America now. The name means treasure, Schatzi. But that steerage mindset followed us for generations. And I was thinking about that one day. I said, Lord, we've always had a steerage mindset, like we belong at the bottom of the boat. Those are the ones that get left when the Titanic goes down. Same company made the ship he rode in on. White Star. And then the Lord said, when will you learn to celebrate the fact that he got on the boat? Doesn't matter how he got here, because our family was wiped out. Can I just tell you something? You got to look at your past and flip it. You're still here. Doesn't matter how you're raised. Somebody say, I'm still here. And there's an understanding of shifting. That is how you start breaking it. What causes poverty? Because that steerage mindset followed us for generations. Oppression and fraud. These are biblical reasons. Misfortune, persecution, judgment, laziness, neglect, gluttony. Final cause of poverty is a culture of poverty. How do you break it? Poverty breeds poverty. How do you break it? You say, it stops with me. You play, you pray, you forgive, and you say no more. And this is it. Become an inventor and an investor. God will give you ideas. He'll give you ways to break things. He'll give you pieces and mindsets to begin to shift. Why? Action is the antidote for a disease called regrets. You say, all right, Lord, how? Am I speaking to anybody in this room? Just read. If you just study the talents of Matthew 25, it'll teach you how to be a steward, how to change where you keep your money, put it in interest-bearing accounts, how to find a wealth manager. If it's $25 a month, putting it up. Shifting that mindset. Listening for the whisper. Save, invest. Don't eat your seed. Be frugal. One of the very definitions of Jehovah Jireh is Jehovah frugal. It means he gives it to you when you need it. I'm done. And the Lord sent me here tonight to say, in impact, what if he raised, you keep the lights up just a little bit for me. What if he raised up in this house people that changed this city. People that walked in such abundance there was no need. People that had such a mindset when a kingdom builder offering is being taken, you're going, Do like my family. We lay hands on our offerings. We name it. In just a moment, we're moving into the altar experience. Because Jesus was the righteous seed that led to everyone in this room. The greatest seed ever planted in the earth. And it blossomed after 3 days. The olive seed. The Romans 11 seed. But you have to understand, there's a moment where you shift and you say, I've had enough. Pastor told me to share about this. I'm reminded of when Karen stood on the stage in Brazil and was preaching to 25,000 women. And as she's preaching, play that for me, Doug. As she's preaching, screaming, I am revival, and they were repeating it. Holy Spirit said to her,
I am revival.
That's my wife speaking.
Eu sou avivamento.
At this exact moment,
Eu sou avivamento.
God healed her of cancer. At the exact moment, I'm here in North Carolina at Billy Graham's center preaching, and he said the storm is over. Why am I showing you that? Because 2 months ago we were there and we saw 6,000 teenagers touched. That's good. And we're going back in May to see 40,000 women touched. I'm asking you in the next few moments, pastor's going to come, help us go back to Brazil. 40,000 women that will be touched and transformed. Pastor said, you should share this tonight before you give the altar experience. Well, I said, I can share it then. He said, do it. I don't do this. But what if your seed could break something in your family? If you don't want to give to our ministry, give to the house, give to the kingdom builders, give to whatever. But what if 40,000 women from the hills of Brazil coming in, that many have been wounded and abused, and when Karen preaches, they get radically delivered. They wail in the floors. I saw it 2 months ago with the teenagers when I preached to them. You can be a part of something special, and then we're going into the altar and we're going to break some things and we're going to lay hands on some folks for the entrepreneur anointing. Are you ready for God to do something? Give the Lord a praise right now. Come on, let's give him a praise. This wasn't a setup. This wasn't a scam. It was very pure. But tonight we're going to break something, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. I was talking to Pat in the office before the service tonight, and I saw this on his table, and I said, tell me about the $10,000 mission goal. And he shared with me the details of what was going on, and I said, would you give us an opportunity? I said, we have a history of doing well with projects. You present, you offer, but we're not begging you for anything. No begging. It's an opportunity. If you hear the Lord saying something to you right now, you've listened to an entire message on the laws of sowing and reaping. For those of you that attend Carpenter Shop International Church on a full-time basis, you've heard me so many times in the last several weeks say, give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I've seen God do that in my life. It was amazing to me to listen to your story today, because for a long time, I was almost embarrassed to say, I'm going into real estate, because I was taught at the same school you were. I was taught at the same school. And I was taught that if you're a preacher, then you don't need to worry about, you know, business and things. You're in the ministry. But tonight you watched from a biblical standpoint, priest and what? Priest and king. Priest and king. Some of you Christians have been taught, well, you know, you don't need to have a lot. You need to live a kind of an abased lifestyle. When God wants you to have more. God doesn't want a single person in this room to be a recipient of food stamps. Some of you are receiving food stamps. Some of you are receiving food stamps, and you know that you're doing something deceptive to receive the food stamps. Because of fear. Because if I really trust and I lay this down, God might not provide. There's a chance that he might not provide. So this is the way we do it, you know. I used to work with social services. When I came out of Bible college, I was a social worker. And I had to deal with people's issues. And I would say, well, how much is your light bill? And you know what they would say? Well, it's not in my name, it's in my aunt's name. Why is it in your aunt's name? Well, it's a long story. And people finagle. Somebody say finagle. People finagle and manipulate. You know why? Because they don't trust the system that God has in place. The system that you saw tonight. When I went to school for real estate, I went under the radar. I didn't want anybody to find out. Why? Because you're a pastor, you don't need to be messing with real estate, because they'll think, well, he's just got a business. He's just after more money. You know why I'm in the real estate business? Because I want more money to provide for my family. And I don't want to have to say, well, I need it from the church. Okay? I'm in the real estate business because for all these years, I didn't worry about retirement, because you know what? You trust God. And I didn't do smart things. I didn't make wise choices. But the Lord set me free from all of that just about a year ago. I went over to the graphics business and I said, hey, would you put Wallace Phillips Real Estate on the side of my truck? And I got in that truck and drove away and I thought, thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Because it's a good thing. It's a good thing that the pastor has the wherewithal to start a business and to, guess what, to be successful in the business. Last year, I was asked to come to an awards ceremony because out of 175 agents in my company, I was number 7. Okay? I didn't make the ceremony. I said, I can't be there. Why? Because I'm preaching in Raleigh that night. I've never been to a single ceremony. I've never been to a training. I've never been to any kind of meeting at the real estate office. I'm just an agent. I'm just an agent. And I don't spend time trying to build a real estate business. It just comes to me. I answer the phone. Hello? And God is blessed. And I'm no longer ashamed. Like, hey, I wonder what he's trying to do. Is he trying to get wealthy? I want to leave something. I got 8 grandkids, okay? And I want to leave something. I want to be a person who leaves something for my children and my children. Zach, when I die, I want you to say, wow, look at what Dad and Mom have left us. And then you know what you can do? You can leave it to Kat. And Josh can leave it to Caleb and Levi and Alexi and Quinn. And what's the other one's name? Cleo. I'm getting too many now. And Jeremy and Abby can leave it to Ava and Eli. Because I want to be a good steward of what God has put into my hands. Amen. And how is it done? It's done by just beginning right where you are. Give. And it shall be given to you. Break the spirit of poverty on your life. Such a blessing. I've shared testimonies. Sometimes I'm hesitant to share. I was in the grocery line. The Lord spoke to me and said, turn around, give the lady $100. Sometimes I think I shouldn't share that because people may think I'm bragging. I'm not bragging. I'm taking joy to know that there was a time when I didn't have $100, but now I can turn around and say, here's your money. She said, why did you do that? I said, because I love God. I love God. I saw the same girl weeks ago pumping gas at the store. She walked over to the cashier in the store and she gave some money and she walked back out. And I said, she don't have a debit card. She had to pay cash. I walked over and said, did you get your gas? She said, yeah, I got gas. I said, how much gas did you get? She said, $5. I pulled out my card and I said, fill your car up with gas. Okay? That's give and it shall be given to you. We don't need you to feel guilty in any way tonight. We need you to feel gifted to be able to sow with joy. It is more blessed, Jesus said, to do what? To give than it is to receive. Pat Slatshine did not say a dime to me about finance. Will you come? Yes. Will you come? Yes. I asked him, can I put this $10,000 mission goal out in front of our people tonight? Let's sow finance into the conference coming up in May 18 and 19. $10,000. Let's do it. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong. Lord, we thank you for $10,000. For Brazilian women, Lord, for their heart, their spirit to be open to the gospel, the good news, the evangelion, the message of Jesus. For them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, for them to be healed of their infirmities. Lord, thank you for the opportunity from this house, from this gathering of people, to go over and beyond more than enough, because you are El Shaddai. You're the God who pours forth. And Father, I thank you that you will pour out your blessings upon those who participate tonight. In Jesus' strong name. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak the number to those that are sitting here. Speak the number. 1,000, 2,000, 5,000. Speak the number. $50, $20. Speak the number to our spirit. Challenge our spirits. In Jesus' strong name. Amen and amen. Listen, if God's spoken to you, come and just put it in the bucket. There's three buckets on the altar. Just come and put it in the bucket. Just come and put it in the bucket. If you're writing a check, it's CSIC. If you want to give on the app, Pastor Noli will take care of that. He'll know what you're looking. He'll know what he's looking for. Just give. Let's just sow in from this little. This, you know, he said, I rode into a husky, and the first thing I said in my spirit is, this is an impoverished area. 100 counties in North Carolina, y'all. We're number 99, number 100, Burt T., Hertford County. We're on the bottom. We're number one in a lot of areas. We're number one in infant crib death syndrome. We're number one in teenage pregnancies. We're number one in HIV. We're number one in all the wrong things, drug addiction. But we are an impoverished region. And the only way that an impoverished region is going to be a region of prosperity and blessing is when the people of God, when the people of God begin to do the principles of God. And when we begin to do those things, you know what? God has the blessing to be released out upon this land. Ahoskie is too small that we should not see such an abundance. Are you done? Are you done? Anybody else? If you're writing a check, come on, catch these guys before they leave. Just drop it in. Hallelujah. Just drop it in. Let's believe God. If you just listen to the Holy Spirit, because I believe He wants to do that tonight. Lord, we bless you. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to touch your people right now, Lord, as we come to these altars tonight. I thank you for salvations. I thank you for healings. I thank you for deliverances. I thank you, God, for all that you're going to do. And I thank you, Lord, that you have a husky in your heart tonight, that you want to see this city, this little town, this little village, this little hamlet raised up, that old buildings, God, will not be torn down, but would be refurbished, that this city would be on the rise, that we would, God, would make the news because of what you're doing. And Lord, as we ride these streets, let us begin to speak to these streets to be raised up as a city of righteousness, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord praise, Pat.
I want you to know, stand with me, we're about to break something. There are very few pastors, because I don't ask. I'm so old school, that would have done what just happened right here, and I deeply honor you for that. Thank you for sowing into this vision. Something special happens in Brazil for some reason. Thousands of women come running and weeping. Many have been trafficked. Many are from, there's a lot of stuff in Brazil if you don't know. This is Rio. It's where in Carnival. What's happening, I believe, this week, this next week. Literally, it's the original Mardi Gras. There will be 9 months from this weekend or next weekend. Many, many babies born that do not know their fathers because it's just sex in the streets. But we are breaking that off that country. And there's an incredible church we work with that's doing it. But all over this house, righteousness. Somebody say righteousness. For you, just a moment ago, you don't even realize it. You broke something over your family. But I'm going to ask you to do something that I didn't have you do this morning. But it's important that you do this, because God's going to release keys. And as you're walking down here in just a moment, there's a key over your head, and you're going to reach up and grab it in just a moment. You say, that just sounds crazy. I know. But we were in Brazil 2 months ago. I saw it there, and then Karen saw the same thing. And we're like, this is weird. And then God said, I'm going to begin to put keys over people. Keys to your next. Keys to your anointing. But the first thing we got to do is step into righteousness. So I'm asking you to do something right now, all over this house. I know what time it is. But what if we broke something? What if your great-great-grandchildren can do like I just did with my great-great-grandfather and say,
At least they got on the boat. At least they got on the boat. At least they made a decision to change their family. All over this house, God is wanting to do something big. Would you come, if you physically can, everybody come down front and stand. Just come stand together as a family. Come on. You say, well, I'm not used to doing that. Come on. I won't embarrass you, I promise. But I believe God has assigned me. Again, when I got ready to preach this message, I didn't know till right at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock that there was even going to be an offering taken for our ministry. That was not planned. That was not, hey, would you mind doing this? I don't do that. Because I just so trust the Lord. But spread out if you would, and God's going to begin to move across this room. Spread into the first and second pew if you have to, so you're not stuck in the aisle. Because there are people that carry the king anointing. Let me walk right back here for a second. Lift your hands and begin to cry out, begin to cry out, begin to cry out. Man, I see so much anointing in this room. I see so much freedom in this room. You have to understand, the Bible says very clearly, what does it profit you to gain the whole world? Matthew 8, 35. But forfeit your soul. Jesus was the righteous seed. He was the one that was the lamb that was led to the slaughter. He's the one that interrupted the lineage of sacrifice to become the sacrifice. He's the one that said, no more, I'm the last lamb. He's the one that was prophesied over and over, the Lamb of God. Isaiah spoke of him. The one who openeth not his mouth. The one who would rise like David's shoot. The one that Simeon would say, behold the promise. He was the one that was the righteous seed to populate heaven. Heaven was empty at this point. Abraham's bosom had not been opened. And you have to understand, when Jesus died, he became the populator of heaven, because only by his blood can you go there. He was the doorway and the gate. And with every eye shut across this place, if you say, Pat, I need to let righteousness, a little soft, I need righteousness to rise up in my life right now, lift your hands. If you say, I'm ready for God to shift me on the inside, I want a number one. Sow seeds of righteousness. I want to walk in righteousness. I want to walk in a day of every day where I literally hear his voice. I hear his whisper. I feel his hand tugging at me. I feel him pulling my legs. I hear him whisper to me. He's done it to me in so many cities. He'll say, don't go around that block. I was in Venezuela one time, and I went to turn to go around the block, and Holy Spirit said, no, like I hit a wall. I turned and went the other way. The missionary came flying around the corner about 10 minutes later to pick me up, and he said, if you'd have gone down the other street, you'd have been killed, because MS-16 had just taken over the block. That's seeds of righteousness coming back. It's when my son, college football player, had spinal surgery, and I'm on my knees at Baylor Hospital, and I said, Lord, heal my boy. And he looked at, and God, I'm just crying out, 8-hour surgery, Nate having spinal surgery. Holy Spirit whispered to me, college football player, get up. I promised you this boy would touch the nations. Dance before me. 8 hours later, he came out of surgery perfectly fine. He runs marathons now. I serve a God that can fix this thing. I serve a God that can restore you, but it starts with righteousness. So put your hands down for a second, eyes shut. If you say, Pat, I need him to restore righteousness in me. I need for righteousness to become a seed of my life. I want not religion, but holiness to begin to stir in me, to break addiction and porn and anger and offense. We're going to break poverty in a minute, so you hold on. We already started it. But if you say, I need righteousness, the righteous one, to live freely in my life, raise your hand now. Raise it up. Come on, I don't care who sees you. I will never be ashamed of me, because he said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. If you raise it up higher, almost like, grab my hand, Lord. Yeah. King, priest, and king. That's why you ain't never fit in. You're both. By the way, you're owed a payday from some stuff that was robbed from you, Holy Spirit says. You're owed a payday. Promises that were made. Lift the other hand with it. Say this out loud. I. Come on, be bold. I will surrender. Everybody in the house with your hands raised, welcome to the cross. It's a dark place. It's a place suspended between heaven and earth where God begins to pull you out of darkness and his light begins to shine down. And say this out loud. Say, Jesus, you are the righteous seed. I want righteousness in my family. I want a spiritual inheritance. I want my children's children to praise you. I want to populate heaven, but it starts with me. Forgive me, shift me, change me, fill me. And stand there for a second. I don't know why I'm telling you to do this, because I've traveled the world for over 30 something years and I've never said this, but the Lord just said there's a groaning coming into the room where he's pulling some stuff out of some people. Say, Lord, cleanse me now. Here it comes, here it comes, here comes Holy Ghost. He's about to start pulling some stuff out of some people. Years of offense, years of hurt that have blocked your righteousness. You're walking in him. Say, restore me. Now get ready. Say, fill me with your spirit. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost across this room right now. Come on, pray in it. You say, I don't know how to do that. Just ask. It's a language that'll start boiling up. It's real. 9 times in the book of Acts. Say, well, that I was taught that wasn't for today. Well, don't go to Acts chapter 19, because that was 20 years after Pentecost and they were filled with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, eagerly desire the gifts. Say, fill me with the Spirit. You know why I tell you to do that? Because if you learn to pray in the Spirit, it will interrupt things that were waiting on you that day. It'll bring a peace into your family. I've got where I get up in the morning time, and if I feel overwhelmed, I begin to pray in the Spirit out loud. I don't care what nobody thinks. It's real. It's authentic. It's for today. Say this out loud. I will start a Holy Spirit revolution in my family. Begin to cry out to God. Say, I will start a righteous revolution in my family. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. You're going to start getting healed in your bodies. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Say it out loud. I have never done this. Say, I will start a Holy Spirit revolution of righteousness in my family. If you're married and you're next to your spouse, if you're married and you're next to your spouse is here, take them by the hand. Everybody pray this out loud. Say, Lord, forgive us if we've ever been unfaithful. Now, this is a big one. It's a big one. It's a big one, because if you were raised in poverty, this is a big one. Say, tonight, we forgive those who harmed us. See, the Bible says if you don't forgive, God cannot hear you. Do a whole teaching on that. Say, Lord, I forgive. Come on. I'm talking about that daddy that walked out. My mama's father walked out on her. I'm talking about that family member that harmed you. Some of you have been robbed. Inheritance. Forgive. Say, I forgive where poverty came from. I will be faithful. I will be a priest. I will be a king. I will be a steward. A steward. Which means this. It ain't mine. It ain't mine. I'm a generational wealth manager. It ain't mine. That's why I will not leave debt for my family. Because it ain't mine. And I teach my kids, it's on you. Now begin to pray in the Spirit. Here's the big thing God sent me to do tonight. Shut your eyes softly. Say, Lord, anoint me. Just stand there for a second. You're going to feel His presence overwhelm you. Here He comes. Some of you working four jobs, three jobs. And God's saying, but I can anoint you to be the end of the hallway, not the beginning of the hallway. Man, I feel that on y'all. I can anoint you, oh my goodness, to have dreams and visions and ideas and launch the business. I can anoint you. I can bring those of you that own a farm. If you own farms in here, I am declaring the land and the soil will be so rich. People will drive by your property and they say, that looks like Iowa. That black soil. Who owns a farm in this room? Anybody own farming in this room? Raise your hand if that's you. The Lord just said, speak to that. I have never done that, that soil would produce. You won't even have to rotate crops. I've never said this in, I'm 54. God's saying, watch what I do to your land. Who owns a business in this room? Raise your hand. It's been a tough season in America. Doug, who travels the world with me. Doug, we got to see your season, your business blessed. Thousands of you can help get healthy. Who else owns a business? Who owns a business in here? Raise both your hands if you own a business. Who owns an idea? Raise both hands. I'm talking about owns an idea. I'm anointed for this, y'all, and I know it sounds arrogant when I say that, but it took 8 years to actually believe that. You own an idea. You own an idea? Yeah, wow. Oh, man. Pray this out loud if you own an idea. A business is an idea. The word entrepreneur didn't exist till 100 years ago. It means to create from nothing. It's all in the Bible. Oh, by the way, you say, well, Paul took a year and a half off ministry to make tents. It wasn't prayer cloths, messianic people. He made the Roman Empire tents. I was in Greece. They still have Paul's race because he sponsored a boat race for his tent company. I can walk you all through the Bible. Ask Joseph how to prepare for famine. Ask Jacob about spotted, speckled sheep. All through the Bible. David was an entrepreneur. When he killed Goliath, you know why he killed Goliath? Because he wasn't mature yet. He said, what do I get? You get to marry the princess. And she was hot. He had seen her in the Christmas parade. It was crazy, but she was hot. He never paid taxes again. He'd ride a white horse. David said, put me in, coach. It's a mindset. All right, here we go. Hands raised. If you own an idea, if you don't have an idea, raise your hands and say, God, give me an idea. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, this is what Holy Spirit's telling me to do. With your hands raised, say, Lord, bless what has already been promised. Produce what is in waiting. In Jesus' name, no more lack. No more delay. Increase. I promise to be faithful. I am a steward. I am a manager. You can trust me. In Jesus' name, we break a spirit of delay. Now begin to pray in the Spirit. And as you begin to pray in the Spirit, you're going to feel the gift of faith settling on you, because some of y'all got ideas that have been waiting, and it wasn't for your children to do it. It was for you to do it. It's a favor anointing. And you got four different people that have said, oh, I like that. I'm going to sow into that, or I'm going to get behind it. And God says, no, 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 watch what I do. Watch what I do. I'll drive them crazy till they do it. Spirit, you say, this is crazy, a service like this. Say this out loud. In Jesus' name, His righteous seed lives inside of me. Whatever I touch must be blessed. Hey, you ain't getting this yet. You ain't getting this yet. Where you walk, you can declare. When you walk into meetings, I go into business meetings all the time. And I say, I mean, with our company, for whatever reason, in the last 8 years, God's raised us up to the top. I walk into meetings with a lot of secular-minded people that are good friends. But I walk in and I go, as I'm walking into that meeting, even if it's on Zoom, even if I'm a Brady Bunch box, I go, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored. I don't have to think like the world. I don't have to do the pattern of this world. I live by the King's rules. Lift your hands. Reach right up above you. Open your hand up like this. If you physically can, if you can't, raise it up higher, hold it up right there. Say, Lord, hand open. Leave your hand open. Say, Lord, give me the key to the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Reach up a little higher. Close your hand. You're doing this by faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith, read Hebrews. By faith, in your hand, bring it down. Say, in my hand is my key to the kingdom. My God shall never forsake me, let me down. I walk in the authority of the King. Say, Lord, I got my key. Now bring my door. I'll go through the door. This is the Hebrew calendar year 5784. It's the year of the door. Say, Lord, when I get home tonight, when I open the door, I'm inviting you in, just like Obed did. Say, inhabit my house, inhabit my family, bring my children home. So listen now, listen, Kalabasati. When you get home tonight, when you step through the door of that apartment, that trailer, that house, wherever you live, your camp, when you open the door, say, come on in. Come on in. Do that. Do it like this. Come on in. Come on in, Lord. Have your way. Somebody say, have your way. Say, have your way. Say, my house is yours. My home is yours. Whether you're a renter, an owner, or a squatter, say, this is your house. God says, I will inhabit your praises. Now just simply say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. Corey, come help me. Come on, just start saying thank you. You're going to get healed. When you lift your hands and say, heal my body.
We just want to say thank you, Lord.
Oh, I feel him across this room.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you. I want to praise your name, oh God. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Man, I feel that. You're praising him. Lift your hands. Always say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
You're going to be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Your family will be blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you,
Lord.
Now sing, I trust you, Lord. Sing.
I trust you, Lord.
Lord,
I just want to say I trust you.
I just
water say I trust you, Lord.
Oh, we see.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you. Are you ready? Come on, shut your eyes.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, I want to thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for my children coming back to you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Sing it one more time.
We say thank you, Lord.
Oh, I love you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to praise you in the morning, evening.
Thank
hey,
you,
yeah.
Lord.
I just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him a praise. Say this out loud. It, you say it in the mic.
It
stops with me.
With me.
Bloodline.
Bloodline.
We will be blessed.
We will be blessed.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
When you lay down to go to bed tonight, lay there and just go.
I just want to thank you, Lord.
I promise I'll do it.
Oh, I just want to say thank you, Lord.
When you get up in the morning, go.
I trust you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it.
I trust you, Lord.
When stuff don't make no sense, I'm going to say
I trust you, Lord.
When the world starts coming at me, I'm going to say, I trust you.
I just want to say, I trust you, Lord.
When you get a bad report, you go, I trust.
I trust.
I trust. I've been there.
I trust.
I know what it's like to look at blood results. And to walk back into my house and my altar, the original altar that was built, that led to your altar. We took that blood report and we laid it on the altar, and I said, no, we don't receive that. When the doctor looked at Karen and said, Karen, you have leukemia, she looked at him and she said, now listen, you're never to say those words again. Because if my kids bring a stray dog home, if you name it, you're keeping it. This is what my redneck wife said. And that doctor who's pre-Christian, he's pre-Christian, he ain't saved yet, who loves us a lot, he would come in over and over and say, well, you know what you have, and I'm not allowed to say it. Until the day walked in a year later and walked in after going to Brazil, coming home, and was going to do bone marrow, and she said, test my blood. And he walks in. He said, all right, but you know the deal. And he walks in, one of the top oncologists in Fort Worth, and he walks in and says, I don't know how to tell you this, but your blood changed completely.
Because I was trusting you no matter what.
When I had used all my tears up,
I said, I trust you. Because I know that you're not done with her.
You got to learn to praise. Because peace is not an emotion, church. It's a place you choose to live every morning. I get out of bed and I go, I'm living over here in peace today. I'm putting a circle around me. Ain't nothing. Revival happens in this circle. It's a crazy mindset. So when the world comes at you, you go, that's outside my circle. Don't try to get in my circle. Because he's the Prince of Peace. So say,
I trust you. I trust you, Lord.
Trust you.
I trust.
I'm gonna trust you with my family. Say it to him. I just want you to know. I just want you to know I trust you. I have been honored to be with you. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for trusting me to stand in this sacred desk. I love you and I honor you. God bless you.
Come on, give the Lord praise for helping us to meet that $10,000 tonight. You did it, guys. You did it. Amen. You did it. You sowed into Brazil tonight. Thank you for doing that. Incredible gift to reach. And in the month of May, be praying for Brazil. Amen. Amen. Be praying for Brazil in the month of May, would you? Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us tonight from your word. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this place tonight, God, that you would protect us, watch over us, guide us to our destinations of home, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Fellowship among yourselves. Go by the book table on your way out if you need to. Be safe when you leave the parking lot, please.